Shall we pray?
Father, we thank you that there is no shortage of room around the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you, our Father, that upon our Savior Jesus, while he hung upon that cross, you laid upon him all of the sins of the world, ours as well as those who have not appropriated that yet, that you are not imputing the trespasses of the world unto them, that you have already laid the sins of every man and woman, boy and girl, who has ever lived or ever will live, upon the Lamb of God. As his blood was spilt, the perfect sacrifice was made, that salvation was freely available to whomsoever will. And we thank you, our Father, that while Jesus was giving himself for our sin, that he gave himself for a total redemption for every man and every woman. Not only did you lay upon him our sin, but you laid upon him also our sickness, our pain, and our disease. For does not the scripture say, even himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases? He was broken for us. His blood was spilled for us. Father, how we thank you. Jesus, how we bless your name for that which you've done. For you said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that that salvation is so free and so available to each and every person. We thank you also tonight, Father, for the blessed presence of your Holy Spirit, the one who quickens the Word of God to our hearts, the one who draws us, the one who woos us, the one who loves us with your love, that we might partake fully and freely of that which Jesus Christ has purchased for us at Calvary. Thank you, Father, for the cross, but we want to thank you tonight, Lord, that the cross no longer has the Savior on it. That our Savior is no longer hanging on the cross, that he is seated right now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, forever making intercession for us, awaiting till his enemy should be made his footstool by his own church. We thank you, our Father, that our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, is not a dead Lord. He's not a dead King. We don't worship a statue, but a living, alive, Lord of lords and King of kings, who is present among his people tonight to minister to them and to meet their needs, whatever they may be. We thank you, our Father, for the power of your Spirit that makes that promise real and is the agency of the Godhead in the world today. How we bless you, Father, for your goodness. How we bless you for your provision. How we bless you that not a single promise that you have made has failed, but that every word that thou hast spoken has in fact come to pass. We give you thanks for it. And now, Father, for the word that is going to be shared tonight, for that message which you've placed in my heart, as it comes forth out of the Word of God, Father, I thank you for your anointing, the anointing of your Spirit that is upon your word. That as we feed upon the word together tonight, Lord, that it will in fact be spirit and life to everyone who receives. I thank you, Father, that you will nurture and nourish and strengthen the saints of God, that you will build them up in the faith, and that by the word of God you will meet every need. How we praise you and thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you're in the presence of God tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn, if you will, to the book of the Exodus, the 23rd chapter. I want to share something with you tonight that I suspect that you maybe have not seen in the Scripture before. Or if you have, maybe haven't seen quite the fullness of it. I'm trusting that what we're going to share tonight will answer some questions for you about healing and about the elderly. That's why I asked how many of you were over 30.
Now that puts you in that category, does it not? Those of you who are under 30, say amen.
Amen.
All right? Now I got you located. Praise the Lord. I want you, we've talked so many times about God's Word and about receiving from God. And you can only receive, we've said so many times, that you can only receive from God as much as you know belongs to you. If you don't know that God has promised you something in His Word, then how are you going to know to claim that and receive it from Him, even though He wants to give it to you? Now, for those of you who aren't really sure about that, I want you to think about salvation, the gift of eternal life. If you don't know that the gift of eternal life is available to you, how are you ever going to receive it? You didn't know that you could be saved. You didn't know that you could have a new life. You didn't know that you could be born again on the inside and have the nature of God inside you until somebody shared with you the blessed Word of God. Is that not right? You can understand that, can't you? You can only have as much of God's blessings as you know belong to you, because how do the blessings of God come? They come by faith. We are to receive by faith the gift of salvation, which is God's greatest gift, and all of the rest of them that are pertinent thereto. So it's important for us to study the Word of God and to know the will of God so that we can know it belongs to us. And once we know it belongs to us, then we'll go on and get it, all right? Let's read here out of the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter, the 25th verse and following. Just two verses here. These are the words of Moses now under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. All right, this is one of the promises of God concerning health. But that's not what I want us to see specifically tonight. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. God says that if you will walk in His commandments, and if you will serve Him, and if you will love Him, and if you will belong to Him, that God will fulfill the number of your days. Is that what it says? Now some would say, well, how many are the number of my days? And how many days should I expect from the Lord? What is my right according to the Word of God? Turn to the 90th Psalm. The 10th verse. Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 80. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The scripture says that God has given us a promise of 80, or if by reason of strength, perhaps 80. Now that is 70 or 80 years that a man has a right to expect from God. Now why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing it for this very specific reason. There are those that in discussing the doctrine of divine healing out of the Word of God, will invariably ask the question, well, what about older people? How about older folks, you know, that have illnesses and they're terminal illnesses? Goodness sakes, you have to go sometime. Is that not the way maybe that they're supposed to go? Well, now I think we probably all have our ideas about whether that's the way or not. But I'm not really interested, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in what anybody's ideas are, except God. He's the only ones that I care about. And anything other than this is speculation. But this is truth, because Jesus, did He not say in the 17th chapter of John, thy word is truth. This is the truth. God's word is the truth. Turn over to the first book of Kings. The chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, God's promise to Solomon, and many of you will remember that Solomon, being the son of David, as he became king, God had asked him, Solomon, what is it that you'd like for me to do for you? And Solomon said, God, the thing that I really want most from you is wisdom so that I may be able to judge your people. And the Lord said, I will give you wisdom above anybody before you or anybody after you, but because you have asked so wisely and did not ask selfishly, I will also give you, great riches. And then this verse in 14, chapter 3, verse 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. God's promise to Solomon is the same promise that was given back in the 23rd chapter of Exodus, that if the people of God will walk in harmony with his commandments, if they will walk in accordance with his laws and his ways, the promise of God is to give them long life. Is that not one of the promises out of the Ten Commandments? The first commandment with a promise was the one that where the Lord said, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. You see, it's profitable, you young people, to honor your father and your mother. You teenagers, that where the devil comes upon you and says, well, you don't have to do what your mother says. You don't have to do what your father says. God says that if you honor your mother and father, that he'll give you long life. That's important. And those of you that are not so young, it's important to you too, that you honor your mother and father, just because you're not part of that immediate family. There's a promise in that commandment. All right, now turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I'm just giving you enough scriptures here because I believe that you must be careful about building a doctrine on a verse of scripture, a single verse. You must be able to find it through the scripture. It must be something that harmonizes through the scripture. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 33. As we are reading here, I want you to know also that the Lord has given us some instruction in the New Testament in several places where he said, God is no respecter of persons. That God shows no partiality. That which he said to his children Israel under the old covenant certainly applies to those of us who are under the new covenant. Because does not the book of Hebrews say that the new covenant is a better covenant? Don't we have a better deal with God under the new covenant than we had under the old? All right, we're looking at old covenant here now. Verse number 33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. All right, the scripture seems to clearly teach that long life is a blessing of God, that it's something that God wants to give to his children, and it can be had by observing the word of God, the laws of God, and the ways of God. And those of you who are expecting to go at an early age are expecting to go in opposition to the will of God.
Because God has not said that you're to go at 35 years old, or at 45 years old, or at 55 years old. With length of days, he said, I'll bless you. All right, now this brings me to the point I really want to get to. Is old age really a blessing? Or is it a curse? Is it a blessing to the elderly? Or is it a curse? Think about it. Just think.
Because of so many of the elderly that you know, it's not a blessing, is it? Because so many of those that are elderly are bound because of physical illness.
So many are bound by health diseases. So many are bound by weaknesses presently in their body.
So many are bound with blindness and deafness and senility of mind. Now I want to ask you a question. Is that something that a child of God should expect? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you this question. Before you walked in here tonight, before we began to talk about this, what did you expect your later years to be like? Did you expect to go gimpy in your late life? Did you expect not to be able to see as well? Did you expect to contract perhaps a weakness in your heart or a deficiency in your lungs? Did you expect perhaps that your stomach wasn't going to work like it did when you were young?
Isn't that what most expect?
From the day you are able to understand, the world will tell you that as you get older, your body will decay, and it will get weaker and weaker and less able to function until one day it will finally die.
Is that not the way the world talks?
That's the way many of God's people talk too, but it's not the Word of God. It's not God's Word. The world and the people of God have talked themselves into a decaying, dying physical body when they know God has to have one. It is not necessary to go that way.
And I'll tell you from my own experience, I am not quite 40 years old. I'm not necessarily proud of that. I'm not embarrassed about it either.
That doesn't make any difference. I'm 40 years old. Almost.
They fell out of the character in the world family talk.
And you know, I know how this works, because the devil is beginning to talk to me about my body.
He says, now, you know, I get into something that just doesn't work
exactly right. You know, it used to work just perfect. You see, there was never any difficulty.
All of a sudden now, something in my body just doesn't work exactly right. It begins to act strange. You know what I'm talking about?
And it's just not quite right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Internal, external, it just doesn't function like it used to. What is the first thing that comes into your old noggin?
Well, I'm getting my story. You know, you expect some of that. Your body's not going to last forever on earth. I mean, eventually it's going to die.
And on the way to death, you see, it's going to go downhill. It's not going to one day just fall over dead. It's going to go downhill little by little, and so you can expect that for the next 30 or 40 years.
It's going to go off.
Well, I want you to know that I don't expect that. I do not expect to go little by little over the next 30 years. I mean, I have just met the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've just been filled with His Spirit in recent years. I just learned what life is all about, and you don't think I'm going to wait till the next 30 going downhill to my body, do you?
Glory.
I ever heard. And it's contrary to the Word of God. And if you think like that, and if you talk like that, you're agreeing with the devil and you're walking with him. In the book of Amos, it says, can't you walk together unless they be agreed? You can't walk with the devil unless you agree with him. You cannot walk into death unless you agree with him.
Now let somebody listen.
Praise the Lord, there's coming a day when we're going to be delivered out of this earthly tabernacle. There's coming a day when we're going to be translated into the kingdom of God completely, and we're going to leave this earthly tabernacle in the ground. And yes, it's going to completely rot, and it's going to go spinning in the ground. It's going to be an ugly, miserable thing. But praise God, I'm not going to be in it anymore. Is that right? Now let me show you a scripture. I've been doing a lot of talking here, and you need to get some scripture to back this up. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll begin there. I tell you that because of this line, the devil has bound so many people, good, godly Christians, has bound them and has taken them into the grave before their time because of this line. And it is a lie. Now you can choose to believe it if you want to, but at least you want to have a lie. God wants you to have an option tonight. You can believe what you want, but you can have an option. You can believe the truth, or you can believe a lie. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. This is where most of this comes from. The 16th verse. For which cause we faint not, Paul says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now people read that verse, I've heard some preach on that verse and say, well, praise God, nothing will happen to my spirit. My inner man, my new man is being renewed every day. He's growing in grace and in power and in wisdom and stature, and he's getting to be more and more like Jesus every day. And one day we'll see him face to face and we're going to be just like he is. My physical body, yes, it's decayed, and it's not operating like it used to operate. But that's to be expected because Paul said that our outward man would perish. Well, I want you to see that Paul did not say that your outward man would gradually decay. He did not say that your outward man would step by step get worse and worse. He said that it would perish. And that's true. Your outward man is going to perish. After your spirit leaves him. And when they put him in the box, you bet he's going to perish. And the Greek, the literal Greek for that word that is translated perish there, means to rot thoroughly, to be completely destroyed. Well, I'm not going to let it happen while my spirit lives in this tabernacle. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because God says it doesn't have to. And I'm not going to let it on the strength of the Word of God. And I exhort you to be like me. All right, now see if this has ever happened before. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy now, where we were, to the 33rd chapter. This is where this came to me this week. I hadn't really thought very much about this, but I'd had the question numerous times, and I'd thought it many times myself. You know, someone will call and say, hey, Nick, would you pray about my mother-in-law? You know, she's 72 years old, and she's laid in the hospital, and she's died of cancer, and she wants to be healed. Would you pray for her? The devil from 1906, because she's under 70. Does it ever happen to you? Does it ever happen to you? Does it ever happen to you? She's got her 70. Just let her go on. God's taken her. Well, I want you to see in the Word of God how God takes his saints. Chapter 33. The 25th verse. Now this is the blessing that is being pronounced upon the tribes of Israel. Even just before Moses died. And he's talking here about the tribe of Asher. In verse 25 he said, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know what that means? As many days as God gives you upon the earth, so shall you have enough strength to live them. As your days, so shall your strength be. Do you see that? The Bible does not say that God is no respecter of persons.
And what he did for the children of Asher, won't he do it for you? Won't he?
All right, now look over in the 34th chapter of Moses.
Or in the 34th chapter of
Deuteronomy.
It is the book of Moses, isn't it?
Would you mind to say that this book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy?
All right, this is the story in the 34th chapter about the death of Moses. This is a very interesting story because it tells us something about the death of God's saints.
It's a beautiful story. You remember that God had said to Moses that because of his disobedience, that he was not going to be able to enter the promised land, that he would be able to see it from afar, but he was not able to enter it. This is the story.
I want us to begin to read in verse 34, or verse 4, I'm sorry.
Verse 1, chapter 34, verse 1.
And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea. And the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth the sepulchre unto this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now here is a man who is 120 years old. He has served God ever since the days in Egypt. He served God with all that he had. He walked in the commandments of God. And he was so weak when he was 120 years old that he climbed a mountain by himself, Mount Nebo. And when it was time for him to die, he died. There was no agony. There was no debilitating disease. There was no wheelchair. There were no litter bearers. None of that. He just died. The scripture says the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab. And I want you to get this verse 7. His eye was not dim, and his natural force was not abated. His natural strength in his body was not diminished at all. But his work was done when he was 120 years old, and he went to be with the Lord. Now that's the way God's saints are to go. They're not to die after 8 weeks stay in the hospital or a 3 year stay in a nursing home. Why does that happen, Vic? It happens all the time. Louisa's sitting back there, and that's the work she does. She works among those people all the time, and she knows that they're saved people. She knows they love God with all their heart. Some of you are sitting here in the congregation today, and say, I don't understand that. I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60, 70 years old, and I know my body is not right, but I love God. God wants you to contemplate what his provision for you is. You do not have to be abated in your natural force. You don't have to carry that with you. God said, as your days are, so shall your strength be. That's the promise of God. And you can have it by faith if you'll receive it from him. I'll tell you this, I've received it. And I want you to too, all of you. Some of you are 35 years old already, your body's beginning to ache and crickets like that. You get up in the morning and you can't hardly straighten up and you say, oh my goodness, the old lady just sent me. Is that all right? And some of you haven't even come to full bloom of life yet. And already the devil has got you kicking it out of the coffin. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense, according to the Word. Turn to the book of Joshua now. Someone is going to say, well, that was Moses.
He was a special kind of guy, and he's the only one that God ever did that for. Well, don't say it out loud. Book of Joshua, the 14th chapter. This is something we could talk about at length, and there's much scripture on this subject. I don't know how much the Lord would have us to share tonight in order to make a point. But you need to have enough scripture, you see, that the truth can get down in your spirit. If it only gets this far, it won't be a bit good. If you only get this far, the devil will have it gone out of you before you walk out the door. This word needs to get down into your spirit, down here where your man really is, where it'll give you some good. And that's why we keep going over these scriptures. Joshua, the 14th chapter, is the story of Caleb. How many of you remember who Caleb was? All right, that's about half of them. Caleb was one of the two who went in and spied out the land. You remember when Moses sent in the 12 spies? Joshua was one, and Caleb was one, and there were 10 others. If you recall, 10 of them brought back an evil report. The evil report was there are giants in the land, and we can't take it. They're too big. It's a good land, just like God said, but we can't have it because they're too big in there. But Joshua and Caleb were the two that brought back the good report. The good report was, we are well able to serve the Lord. That's the same Caleb. All right, now you remember that the scripture says that God had promised unto the children of Israel that none would enter the promised land because of their unbelief, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. They were the only two that were going to go in. The rest of them were all to die out. After this has all taken place now, they've wandered 40 years in the wilderness. This is the passage that we're reading today. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren, these are the words of Caleb now. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, how many times have we seen this in the scriptures that we read tonight? That we follow God. That we do His ways. That we obey His commandments. That we obey His judgments and His laws. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Now behold, as the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. Now listen to this sentence. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm 85 years old, but nothing in my strength has abated. The way I was 45, when I was a 40-year-old man, a fighting man, I'm 85 years old now, I'm still a man of steel, just like I was then. Nothing has changed, he said. I still have the same strength. And now listen to that strength. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord had said. 84 years old, he's taken the land. Now did this strength is gone. There's Moses. There's Joshua. Turn to the 15th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15, verse 15. This is the word of God unto Abraham. And thou shalt go to thy fathers, that is, thou shalt die, in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. He said you're going to go to your fathers in peace. Not diseased, not broken in body, but in peace. Now turn over to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost. He died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Time after time after time after time after time, the word of the Lord reveals that his will for those that obey him and keep his law and live in his word is for them to have fullness of life and the fullness of life in that life. It is not God's will for you to go out gradually. It is God's will for you to go out when your time comes, shouting the victory. Shouting the victory. Shouting the victory. That's God's will for you. That's what he'll have you to do. All right, turn to the book of Proverbs, if you will, to the 16th chapter. I want you to see two more things while we're on the subject. I don't know when we'll come back to this subject again. We haven't really ever talked about it before. Now, some of you are here tonight that this really doesn't affect you. It will in later years. As the years come and go, the Lord will bring this night back to your room. But it does affect some of your family. There are some of you here tonight that, if I'm thinking about my own mother, who is not 60 years old, and she walked on the market crippled. Her legs, her knees are all swollen and just, well, are just a mess. But she doesn't know. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. My father was a healthy man. I was healthy. He's a big, stout kind of a guy, you know? Just a picture of heaven. In the last 4 or 5 years, as he's been here in the 60s, he's just about almost 60 years old. He's 60 years old next month. Just in the last 2 years, every time you talk to him, there's something new wrong with him. But he doesn't know. The scripture says, my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. Because of their lack of knowledge. Now, as God has revealed these scriptures to me this week, I'm going to see that they get to my mother's father. I'm going to see that they get this word. But they need to be wise.
Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 31st verse. I want you to see something blessed here. I hope it'll bless you. The hoary head. You know what a hoary head is? It's a gray head. All right? A head full of gray hair. It's like the hoarfrost. Okay? A hoary head, that is a gray head, is a crown of glory. It's blessedness. It's a crown of glory, you see. If it be found in the way of righteousness, if it be found in a righteous person, one who is obeying the ways of God, one who is walking in his paths, it's a crown of glory. It's not a curse. Old age is not a curse. It's a blessing of God. It's a crown of glory, he said. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be pushed away into the future. Say, oh God, I don't want to get old. He says it's a crown of glory. The crown of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A gray head is a crown of glory. Praise God. Now I'm going to give you something to get you excited. The book of Isaiah, chapter 46. Now, if this does not speak to you, the Lord and I sure have been wasting our time tonight. Isaiah, the 46th chapter. And we're bringing it all down to this. Isaiah chapter 46, the 4th verse. And even to your old age, I am he, that is God. And even to hoar hair,
that is gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and I will deliver. God said, I made you, I'll bear you, I'll carry you. And even when you're gray-headed, when the devil puts that garbage on you, I'll deliver you, he said. He said, healing is not only for the little ones and the young ones, and those who still have a long life ahead of them. He said, healing is for you if you're sick. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're a little one or a little one. Healing belongs to you. He said, I'll deliver you. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. And don't you let the devil ever tell you that you're getting close to the grave and therefore healing may not be for you this time. That's a lie from the devil. The truth of God is right here. I will deliver you. That's what he said. That's what he said. I believe that he said it, that he sure means it. And if he meant this word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He believed he meant that. And I want you to know he meant this one. He meant this one. I will deliver you, even to your old age. Now, I hope you've taken these scriptures down. Because, you know, when God feeds you something like this, he's not feeding it to you so to pass through you. He's feeding it to you so that you can minister. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if half of you in the coming week, you see, will have opportunity to minister to somebody who's gray-headed and sick. See, God's not fooling around. He's not fooling around. He's not wasting your time tonight, and he's not wasting my time tonight, and he's not wasting his time tonight. He is equipping you tonight, the body of Jesus Christ, to do something for him. He's getting you ready, you see, to go into battle for him. You be ready. You be ready. You remember these scriptures now that we've shared. All right, look at the 116th Psalm. Psalm 116, the 15th verse. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. The Bible says that death, the death of the saints of God, is precious in the sight of God. Death is not something to be feared for a Christian, nor is it something to be avoided. It is something to be gained, physical death. And as far as our Heavenly Father is concerned, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because they are finally, totally, completely taken out of any kind of influence of the devil, and they are gathered unto the bosom of God the Father forever and ever and ever. But what I want you to see tonight, and what I believe the Spirit of God is trying to minister tonight, is that it does not glorify God to go down the way most people go down. That's what I think he wants us to see tonight. It's not death that's to be avoided. It's not death that's to be feared. Because once we have been translated out of the power of Satan into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, once we have received the gift of eternal life, that life began that day, and we just continue on. We're just passing into a new realm. So it's not death that we're to fear. And then one more scripture I want you to see, and that is Proverbs 3. And any of you who have been worshiping with us on a regular basis, if you have not seen what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say to his church, I want you to get it now. About the importance of the Word of God.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law. The law of God is his word. Let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. There is a benefit in your knowing, believing, and doing the word of God. And that is length of days, long life, and a peaceful existence. You see, the Spirit of God is free. Do what it was saying when he wrote the New Testament. For there is no respect of persons. He does not respect the young and the old. He does not respect the male or the female. He does not respect the black or the white. He does not respect one over another. All are entitled to the benefits and the blessings of God if they will meet the scriptures defined for them. Healing is one of the blessings of God. In the gospel, physical healing of the body is called the children's bread. It is bread for the children of God. And that same healing for the physical body is available to every man and woman, no matter what his age, no matter what his condition is, if he will just believe God. And if you will simply step out in faith and trust God, trust his word, and receive him. He's no respecter of persons. That which you did for one, you did for another. He's a good God, isn't he? He's a good God, isn't he? See, it wouldn't be the gospel if you couldn't have it once you got past 50. That wouldn't be good news, would it? How could that stop me? And have to go into a hospital room and say to a 50-year-old man who was dying of cancer, well, son, it may be your time. It may be that this is the way God is checking you out. Just be patient and it'll all be over.
That is not to put anybody down. Bless God, these people, these men are doing the best they know how. But I want you to know that it was that very thing that kept me, that I determined that I never wanted to pass off the cross. Because I've never seen a pastor that had anything to offer in situations that were difficult like that. And I couldn't go through that. I don't know about you. I just couldn't tell a man that. That's not good news. Jesus Christ came to bring good news. There's no bad news in him. There isn't any. His nose is good. He's a good God. Every good gift comes down from a father's life. In whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. When will the body of Christ know that? You know, I was reading through the Gospels this week, and all the way through, but in one of the Gospels, and it struck me, after having read this passage about Moses, and that's what really nailed me this week on this particular subject, I read in there where it said, Jesus healed all the world. And I thought, you know, that is really unusual because it doesn't say in there, Jesus healed everybody on the seventh day. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever heard that before? Say, now you want something new tonight. Over there in the book of Acts, we sang about it tonight where Peter and John looked down at the silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now what he should have said, and I'm sorry, fella, you're 40, you're on the downhill side. We'll give it to someone else. That sounds silly when you put it that way. that many of God's children believe like that because they act like that. Oh, would be that God would take the truth of His Word. Would that God would take the fullness of the revelation of Him. That which you see in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus revealed God unto the world. Did He not? Oh, would that God by His Spirit would take the fullness of that revelation and drive it into the spirits and the hearts of His people. So that they would stop agreeing with the devil and begin to agree with God and walk with Him. Our God's a good God. I just can't stop saying it. He's a good God. He's a lover. Praise His wonderful name. Praise His name. His name's Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Lord.